This is a Sound Rebel podcast.
To work with us on your podcast, go to soundrebel.co.uk. Over the Influence is no longer just a podcast. Our online community is buzzing with people like you.
Hi, my name's Kaylee. I'm from Glasgow. I decided to join Coonity, and I can honestly say it is the best gift I've ever given to myself. The support you get from Shaz, Ben and the community members is second to none. The forums are great. We cover a lot of topics in there and we have a laugh, but ultimately we're there to support each other. Being able to access the forums via the app on the go is so helpful. If you're out and about and you have a wobble or you're having a bad day, there's always someone there in the forum who has felt like you feel and can offer some support and advice. The game changer for me has definitely been the Zooms. I still remember how nervous I was joining that first Zoom, but within 5 minutes, I would feel at ease. I absolutely love them and look forward to them now. Everyone on there is so lovely. There's no judgment at all. Everyone's got a different experience and different drinking habits, but we all have so much in common. I would urge anyone who's listened to this podcast who wants to take a break from alcohol to give it a go.
So if you want to join us, go to overtheinfluence.co.uk. Welcome to Over the Influence. It's absolutely fantastic to have you listening. I don't think I can get away with saying today that it's the best alcohol-free podcast in all of the land. And this will become apparent.
It's one of the
absolutely fantastic alcohol-free podcasts out there. I'll introduce our guest in just a second. You'll understand exactly why I've said that. If you are maybe finding us for the first time, thank you so much for listening. Go back. There's well over 100 episodes. You can fill your boots and listen to so many amazing, inspirational guests and stories. We love doing this week in, week out. A quick reintroduction as to who we are. My name is Sharon Hartley, based in Lancashire in the northwest of England. It's official. I can actually say this now because my app has confirmed it. 4.5 flipping years alcohol free, and it never ever gets any less exciting. It is so good. I was a daily drinker, ramped it up at weekends, just wanted to take a break, to be honest, and have a little bit of a reset and get fully back on the booze train. But something really weird happened. A load of good stuff started to happen. And in a nutshell, I fell in love with sobriety. It's just hands down the best thing ever. I don't bang on about this on my own. Good evening, good morning, good afternoon, Ben Anderson.
My name's Ben, I'm 34, I live in Liverpool. And now, Sharon is our guest booker. And you basically decide, Sharon, because let's face it, at the end of the day, you're the boss here, when our podcasts go out. So, if this podcast has gone out on Monday the 27th of March, then this weekend I'll be 1,000 days alcohol free. Or if this podcast is going out on Monday the 3rd of April, yesterday I was 1,000 days alcohol free, which is great, isn't it? Can't believe it.
Whenever. That's amazing.
1,000 days. And you know, it really, I didn't even know. Someone said it to me on a Zoom call the other day. How many days are? I was like, you know, I don't know how many days. I do it in kind of years and months now. But yeah, 1,000 days. And I never meant to be 1,000 days alcohol free. I meant to do 3 months because I wanted to kind of prove that I could take a break from alcohol. I didn't even necessarily want it to be a reset. I didn't want to rethink my drinking. I was literally just going to abstain from alcohol for 3 months and then carry on drinking exactly like I always had done. But actually, it got to 3 months and went, this feels good. I wonder what would happen in six. Got to six and thought, yep, okay, let's commit to 12. And for me, it was on day 366 that I went, right, I've got a year of data now, non-drinker me versus years of drinker me. And I really liked the non-drinking version. So yeah, I'm now nearly, or I am, yesterday, 1,000 days alcohol free.
I love the fact that I analysed the data and I decided. You're such a You're such a stiff.
I'm a proud geek, because being a geek and a nerd these days is cool, Sharon.
It is. And I'll tell you what else is cool, being alcohol flipping free.
Yes,
we've got a great episode lined up for you today. This is it's going to be really, really good. Now, both the guests on today's episode have been on the podcast before. I'm going to come to Susan in just a sec, and you'll know who Susan is because Susan Laurie joined us, I think it was in series one. It's maybe 2.5-3 years ago. Hold that thought, Susan, for just a sec. The first voice you're going to hear, and you'll recognise this, it's Sober Dave. It's David Wilson, who has also been a guest on the podcast. And Dave, that's why I couldn't start the intro saying it's the best podcast in all of the land, because yours is quite good as well.
Thank you. And there's a lot of energy in this intro, so I need to try and up my game a little bit. Firstly, Sharon, congratulations on your 4.5 years. That's absolutely amazing.
Thank you, Dave. Thank you.
And Ben, I hear you on that, because I was challenged to 3 months in the beginning as well. And I got to about 6 weeks, and I walked past my local pub and I thought, what am I going to be doing in 6 weeks' time? Walking back in there and being how I was, you know. So I decided to do 500 days. And then shortly after that, I thought, just give it up, you know, and that's what I did. So I'm just behind you, Sharon. I'm 4 years, 3 months, I think. And as you say, it's the best thing I've ever done. My life's completely changed in every area, you know, absolutely every area. And you mentioned the podcast. I mean, that's my big passion, like yours is to you too. And yeah, I've written a book. And do you know what? The irony about the book was that I always used to say when I was drunk, I could write a book about this one day. And I have.
So, isn't that amazing?
It really is, isn't it?
I love that. I absolutely love it. Well, there is a reason why we're chatting to you, Dave, on this podcast as well. And you, Susan. And we'll get into all that very shortly. Dave, just give people... Can you condense your 4 and a bit years, your sobriety journey? Just give people a reminder as to who you are and why you're doing this.
Yeah, I mean, people know me on Instagram as Sober Dave, and I drank for 40 years, but I became a solitary, isolated drinker because of the shame. Like, I didn't want people to see what state I got in, so I used to drink indoors. Occasions I would sit in the dark if the neighbours had invited me into a party next door, and I thought I'd rather sit in and get absolutely blackout drunk. And I used to sit in the dark drinking vodka. And then I realised I had a really bad rock bottom in the April 2018. I nearly ended up killing myself. And it still took me a few months to stop. But when I stopped, I started like journaling my story out on Instagram, and people were relating to me because I think people know by now that I don't pull any punches, and I was being really honest, and people started approaching me saying, you know, I can really relate to you, and I've been looking at my relationship with alcohol as well. And then I realized actually that by replying, getting involved, that was helping as well. And then probably what we're going to talk about later on, I trained to be a grey area drinking coach with Jolene Park, and I did a lot of other things as well. I love expanding my knowledge in this field, you know, which I'm sure we're going to talk about later.
Brilliant. Dave, thank you so much. I'm chuffed to bits that you're back on the podcast. It's brilliant.
Thanks for asking me as well.
You're more than welcome. Thank you so much. Susan Laurie is also with us on this special episode today, and it'll come apparent as to why. Susan, I just want to take you back to when you first joined us on the podcast, and our chat, for me, it's so memorable, and your story, it really affected me. And you messaged me after the episode, and you thanked us for, I think you said, thank you for being gentle with me. And you are one of the most gentle women that I've ever had the pleasure of speaking to. Your story touched so, so many people. And I'll never forget it, because I think it was one of the, it was one of our early chats, and I was quite nervous about doing it. I really was. And the way you shared your story was inspiring, and it was beautiful. So thank you. Welcome back to Over the Influence. It's great now. I feel like I'm inviting you back as a friend. Susan, how are you doing?
I'm great, thanks. And that's so kind of you to say, because I can still remember it clearly as well. And I was very nervous too, but I can remember at the time, I think it not long will publish my book. I never intended to write a book. And as you know, 8 years ago, I was dying because of my drinking. In fact, it's 8 years this month since I got sober.
Wow.
But it'd been, you know, a long journey to that the state that I was in. Then years and years of, you know, I started out having fun with alcohol, using it with my peers to have a bit more confidence. So, you know, going on sales conferences and things, and I was surrounded by people who I thought were a lot more intelligent than me. So it started there in my 20s and then just gradually crept up over the years. And as you know, it works by stealth. And I didn't realize I had a problem until I think I was in my 40s, really, or maybe earlier in my 30s. But yeah, it sort of crept up on me. But, you know, 8 years ago, there I was, waking up at 3 a.m, having a drink to knock myself out again, because I could do that because I was on my own. I was in trouble with the police, waking up in hospital. So I was in a bit of a mess. And I got sober. It took a few years, as it does, for the dust to settle, and it caused so much carnage and so much damage that my focus was on repairing relationships and things. But then, yeah, I wrote the book as a book of hope, really, because when you get to that stage, invariably you've tried lots of things to get sober, and it's easy to think that you're a hopeless case and just give up. So it was so kind of you and Ben to invite me on the podcast to talk about that, because I think a lot of people, you know, don't realize how bad it can get, but there's always hope. So I'm really grateful for your kind words, and it's so good to be back here again.
It is. It's absolutely brilliant. And I just want to give your book a plug, because it's one of the first books that I read as well. It's called From Rock Bottom to Sober Forever, and the actual author of that is on this podcast, Susan Laurie. It's so good. Now let's get to matters in hand. Just before you two joined this call, me and Ben were chatting, and what did you say, Ben? It's like AF Avengers Assemble.
Yeah. Are you Marvel fans, Dave and Susan? Do you know much about the Avengers? Because it feels like this is the alcohol-free Avengers coming together. Susan Laurie, of course, is our Iron Man, because she's the kind of captain of this ship. I think Dave, he's tanned, he's bright-eyed, and he's got lovely arms. I think Thor. I think you're the Thor of this group.
Oh, yeah. I love that. Definitely.
Sharon, of course, you're Wonder Woman. Gotta be. Obviously. And I think I'm probably the big, hairy beast. I'm the beast.
I love it.
But we are the AF Avengers, because Susan, you slid into our DMs a while ago with an idea called Sober Code. Do you want to tell us, first of all, what Sober Code is and what we're all doing here?
What Sober Code is? Well, at the very heart of Sober Code, I see it as a positive resource to help people. But I also see it as, it's almost a voluntary code of ethics, which is where the Sober Code comes from, just to almost to do no harm, to help protect people whose alcohol dependence or alcohol addiction makes them a bit vulnerable, really, because I know what it's like to be in that vulnerable place. So Sober Code came about from, you know, people contacting me over the years with different experiences, working with different people, and actually from a chat with Sober Dave. Once we looked into it, it appeared that there was nothing, you know, there were no sort of guidelines, or, you know, nothing as formal as regulations, but no guidelines, no sober coach community. So we thought we'd create something that is a resource for sober coaches, sober communities, and also the people who want to use them. And that's where Sober Code was born. And really, I see it as a really positive step in and something that sober coaches are going to really want to be involved with and be part of.
I mean, Dave, can you tell us a bit about sober coaching? Because this is something that's really kind of sprung up in the last few years, isn't it? You know, you mentioned that you did the grey area drinking coach course with Jolene Park. I've just finished the Arete Way course with Andy Ramage. There's lots of different coaches training at the moment, aren't they? But can you tell us a bit about just kind of sober coaching as the area?
Yeah, sure, Ben. I mean, before I stopped drinking, I was attempting to train as a therapist. And that went a bit wrong after 2 years because I realised drinking and training didn't blend. But I had 2 years behind me on that, and I learned a lot of things like listening skills and what not to say to people. So when I became sober, I did a mental health first aid course. I trained and qualified to be a peer mentor where I could work in group surroundings. But then I felt like I wanted to do a little bit more once I realized that by me listening to people and helping, there could be more to it. So I did Jolene Park's course, and I learned a lot more than I thought I would. I learned all about the nervous system, about lots of different ways to approach and to not advise people as well, you know, off my own experience. And I started up actually in lockdown, and the majority of my clients were actually women. Some of these women were coming to me off the back of having some really, really bad coaching. And that's when Sue called. I remember exactly, Sue, where I was actually sitting in the garden. You called me and you discussed this with me. And it really hit a nerve for me because people coming to me off the back of bad experiences and, you know, things like the financial implications of bad coaching. They were drinking off the back of that, the shame of spending money on coaching, the poor advice they were given from people that weren't or didn't receive training. They were using their own experience alone. I've had people approach me that are 30 days sober asking me where they can start to be a sober coach and stuff like this, you know. And it's just as we've talked about before, it began to feel like the Wild West out there, that anyone could be a sober coach. So I think this sober coach, really, really valuable thing to put in place, actually.
It's a really interesting conversation to have, I think, coaching, because what you're talking about there is mentoring, isn't it? And mentoring is a great thing, you know, absolutely. Somebody who's gone before you, who's walked that same path, who can reflect on their experiences and tell you how they did it and potentially give you advice based on your situation. That's mentoring, but that's not coaching, is it? Coaching and mentoring are two very, very different things, because I've just done this course with Andy. And the diploma I've got is a diploma in positive psychology coaching. So I'm now a trained life coach. The reason the sober side of it comes because it's Andy Ramage. You know, we've heard him on this podcast before. So there's a module, which is an alcohol-free module. But actually, he's training you how to be a coach. You know, him and his team, you are a life coach that just happens to have a specific interest in alcohol-free, sober coaching. But somebody using the phrase sober coach, technically, they shouldn't use that phrase unless they've had some sort of training, should they?
No, not at all. And anyone can have a glitzy website designed as well. So it's all singing and dancing. And someone who's in a vulnerable position as well, that really is looking for help, could stumble across this website and think, actually, that looks really, really professional, and sign up to this. And actually, the person hasn't really got an idea. Or that they might not be insured. You know, there's so many things you have to think about with this.
Susan, I can see you nodding along there in agreement to just about everything Dave has just said there. But what was your experience, Susan? Because this has happened to you firsthand, has it? You've spoken of the money that you spent trying to recover and the shame you felt when it failed, and that you felt yourself that you'd failed. Just share a little bit about your own personal experience, if you wouldn't mind.
Absolutely. I was nodding away because I've lived the whole experience of trying so many different things. And I think, first of all, what a lot of people don't realize is when you're alcohol dependent and you don't get to the rock bottom overnight, it takes a while. So invariably people will try different things. They'll go to their GP, they might go for counseling, they might that were Alcoholics Anonymous. But there are some times as well where, you know, say if you relapse, you don't want to keep going through the formal channels, especially if, like in my case, you're a parent. I didn't want to go to my GP again because I might get on some sort of radar and social services might get involved and might have your children taken off you. So because of that, lots of times I would turn to, you know, the internet, looking for private therapists and whoever to pay, who said that they could help me, because I didn't want to keep going, you know, I didn't want to get on that radar and be, you know, reported or whatever. So lots of times I did that search for somebody who said they could help me, and I paid for all sorts of different things, you know, traditional things that you'd expect with counselors and hypnotherapists, different things, but sometimes really weird and wacky stuff. Sometimes, you know, even dangerous stuff. I had electricity pass through my body while I wore a crystal to collect all the negative energy, because you're desperate and you're vulnerable and you pay the money. So I know what it's like. And Dave is exactly right. When something doesn't work and you've spent money, you then feel so ashamed and so guilty about wasting your family's money that alcohol and alcohol addiction and alcohol dependence drive on shame. So you end up drinking on that. And then the actual treatment you've paid for has done more harm than good. You're worse off than you were before. So I've lived through it. And with Sober Code, you know, it's not, I don't see it as a negative thing or a naming and shaming thing. I see it as a really positive thing to help sober coaches do their utmost to not work with somebody like me, to, you know, to make sure that they're working with somebody that they can really help, because sober coaches can change lives in a really positive way, in the same way that, you know, working with a personal trainer can. Some people just can't do it by themselves and they need somebody by their side, and sober coaches are brilliant for that. And what Sober Code is going to encourage is making sure that you don't work with somebody like me. You don't take their money. You don't, you know, if somebody's, I used to sign up for things when I was drunk and hating myself. So trying to guard against that, to put things in place, but mainly, you know, to educate yourself about dependence, about the difference between somebody who hates themselves because they're drinking too much and the hangovers are really bad and it's, you know, starting to impact on their life, to the other, you know, stepping up that line into dependence. I've said a lot of times, I wish that sober coaches had existed earlier in my drinking journey. Who knows where I might have been. I might not have progressed to the stage that I did. But yeah, it's a positive thing just to help ensure that, you know, people like me, people like I was, protected.
The thing about it is that, you know, like you just said there, coaching can be life-changing. You know, the role of the coach is to hold space, to create a kind of comfortable space for the client, the coachee, to talk. It's to ask the right questions. It's to help them find the answers that are within them. It's a great skill. And that's what I've learned by doing this Andy Ramage course. This is a skill. I thought that I'd breeze it. Because we do things like the podcast, I'm always interviewing people. I'm always trying to get the most out of people. Actually, I knew nothing when I first started this course. Like Dave, you mentioned earlier, the art of listening. You know, we all think that we are good listeners. Actually, how often are you listening with the intent to reply rather than actually listening? It's yeah. Stuff like that that you learn. I think it's important to say here as well that, yes, there are some cowboys out there, you know, in this wild west that can be sober coaching. There are, you know, like in anything, in any industry, there are cowboys. But I think the other thing that, when you came to us and said that it would love to involve you and Sharon in Sober Code and get the message out there through the podcast, the thing that I really liked about it is that when you're a coach, one of the reasons that you become a coach is because you want to help people. You really, Dave, you said earlier on as well, that actually that kind of process of becoming sober yourself, giving back, helping people, it helps to strengthen your own sobriety. Mm. You know, it there were some selfish bits to it, but ultimately you become a coach because you want to help improve people's lives, improve their circumstances. Sometimes you're not equipped though. Sometimes you're not trained enough. So it's not just about saying, you know, look, there are cowboys out there. What this is saying and trying to get the message out to people who are practicing as sober coaches, it's that those qualifying questions, isn't it, Susan? It's, I know that you might, you know, in your heart of hearts, really desperately want to help this person, but actually ask yourself, truly, do you have the right skill set? Are you trained enough to help this person?
Yeah, exactly. And that's on the Sober Code website, we're going to be, you know, there are going to be signposts to courses like the ones that you've mentioned from people like Andy and Alcohol Change UK. It's going to be a resource for sober coaches. You know, if you want to work with people like that, there are courses available that you can do. So it's a very positive and educational thing, a resource. And it's also a resource for anyone looking for a sober coach as well, you know, sort of questions that you should be asking them. But I absolutely agree with you. You know, there are most people go into this for good and because they care and because they want to help people and because they've had experience of, you know, the damage that, you know, alcohol can do in a person's life, or, you know, they've had that fantastic experience of when you realize how great it is to live a sober life and, you know, all the possibilities that opens up. So most people do go into it for good, and that's to help support them and also, you know, to help support sober communities as well, because, you know, they've got their part to play. They should be a safe space for people to go for support with like-minded people. So it's all about encouraging them to, you know, look at interactions on their site and make sure that there's no shaming or humiliating, which again, alcohol thrives on.
There's another thing as well in the mix as well about integrity. So you could be a coach that would take someone on because you could have been having a bad month financially and thinking, actually, I need the money. But that person might be fully dependent on alcohol. They could be drinking in the daytime, and it could be really dangerous, because we know all about that, don't we? Seizures, you know, and we could say, yeah, okay, well, you stop drinking from now. I will send you a couple of resources they've got off the internet, and then they're stopping cold stone sober and could have a seizure. So I know my boundaries with the clients I take on, and that's an important point as well.
Absolutely.
And you know what, Dave, as a community, speaking, you know, for myself and Ben, we've had a couple of instances where people have got in touch with Over the Influence, can you help me? And we ask a few questions and we say, not yet. No, we absolutely want to help you. And God, if you could click your fingers and make everything okay, you absolutely would. But they are in need of medical assistance and further support than we are able to give at this stage, and we signpost them and direct them, you know, to medical resources and get in touch with your GP. Come back when it's safe and ready for you to do so, and we will welcome you with open arms. But as you said, Susan, and you've talked about, David, at the heart of this, it's about doing the right flipping thing for people that could be really, really vulnerable. And it's not a linear path, is it? It's not. It's a lot of the time, this whole sober journey, as we call it here, it's not easy. It's up and down, and it's very much like a roller coaster. But at the heart of Sober Code, Susan, is a want and a desire to make it right for people, to be caring, to be kind, to be respectful, no shame. It's those people that are at the heart of this.
Absolutely. And you just reminded me there that, yeah, the way I see Sober Code evolving is that it's owned by sober coaches and the people involved with sober communities. As I've said to you before, it's not about me sort of setting this up or earning it, or any of the four of us. It's going to be an entity of its own that sober coaches and sober communities can go to. Who knows where it might go, to share ideas, to help each other. I just see it as being just this fantastically positive step forward and get us out of this, you know, Wild West situation. And I imagine most sober coaches and sober communities will want to be involved, because most of them are ethical and want to do good.
We're just going to take a really quick break from this really special episode of Over the Influence, the launch of Sober Code, hashtag Sober Code, with the brilliant Susan Laurie and the fabulous Sober Dave.
Has Sober Dave got a premium podcast? I don't think he has he?
No.
Obviously, you know, at the beginning of this episode, there's a bit of, ooh, can't call this one the best alcohol-free podcast in all the land today, because you're on, Dave. But what we can say is that our premium podcast is the best alcohol-free premium podcast in all the land, and now available on Apple Podcasts.
It's taken so long to do this, but we are so excited.
We've been doing the premium podcast for years now, haven't we?
Ages.
We're coming up to 100 episodes of the premium podcast anyway.
So I think we started the premium podcast when we launched the community, because that is it's coming up to 2 years. Yeah, that's a lot of wanging on about sobriety. And, you know, I love the main pod. I do, because it's all about the guests and it's all about sharing their stories. But on the flip side, I really do enjoy recording the premium pod, because it's... We go off track.
Ridiculous.
Ridiculous. Yeah. We overshare.
Nonsense. It's like Ben and Shaz after dark, isn't it?
Which is quite an awful thought, really. But actually...
You know what? Do you want to, rather than us talking about it, do you want to hear what one of our premium podcast listeners thinks of the premium podcast?
Oh, God. Do I? I've not heard this. Really?
This is Dr. Helen in Bahrain, who's over... 8 years? Is she 9 years alcohol-free?
Eight years.
A long bloody time. Coming up to a decade alcohol-free is Dr. Helen in Bahrain.
She is, and she's fabulous. She's just celebrated her 50th birthday. And actually, she's a doctor. So whatever she says, just listen to her, all right?
Hi, I'm Helen, and I live in Bahrain in the Middle East. My favourite thing about being an OTI subscriber is the premium pod. Every week, every Monday, I'm dying for the episode to come out, and I can't wait to listen to it. I rush off to listen to it. It's just so good. I feel like I'm having a conversation with my mates about what's happening in the news, anything alcohol related. It's just a really good, fun, casual look at what's going on in the alcohol-free world. It's brilliant. Shaz and Ben, carry on. Premium podcast forever. We love it. Thank you from everyone at OTI.
There you go. That's what Dr. Helen thinks about the premium podcast, and she's been listening from the very beginning. She's great, isn't it?
Really good. Really good. Yeah, the premium pod, it's different. It is. It's like the Love Island after show, after sun.
It's a celebrity. Like, Strictly Come Dancing, It Takes Two.
That's the one. Yeah, it's like the little spin-off. I mean, basically what we're trying to say is it's really, really good. It's fantastic. There's a lot of oversharing. Actually, there's a bit nervous about it going on to the main channel. But anyway, c'est la vie, it's out there now.
Well, it is. It's already there. And if you listen on Apple Podcasts, and we know that 70% of you do, because I've been looking at the analytics on the back end of the podcast provider. And yeah, it's basically now you can click to subscribe to the premium podcast. You'll see all the episodes and all the different titles if you listen on Apple on the main Over the Influence podcast channel. Click subscribe for $4.99 a month or $49.99 a year. So you obviously get 2 months for free if you do an annual option. But also you get a 7-day free trial
for
the premium pod as well. Before any of that, before you got to pay, 7 days free. Go and have a listen. You might as well. If you're an Apple Podcast listener, you get that free trial. Unfortunately, if you listen on Spotify, you have to go to overtheinfluence.supercast.com, and there's no free trial on there. But Dr. Helen told you. It's great.
Listen to the doc.
You need a free trial.
Listen.
Doctor says it's good.
Can we say that she prescribes it, or is that a step too far?
Dr. Helen prescribes the premium podcast for all.
A little asterisk there. Maybe we probably need to check with Dr. Helen if it's okay to say that, but I'm sure it's medically sound.
Of course, which is, of course, you know, one of the big things, the important things that we're talking about here on this episode with Susan Laurie and Sober Dave. Should we get back to our Sober Code episode, Sharon?
Let's do. Absolutely. Sober communities, the fact we're all on this call together, the the common desire to help people and to give back, it's rife. It runs through the veins of the sober community, doesn't it? There's not one person we've ever spoken to, be it a sober coach or another sober group or a sober influencer or an Instagram account, whatever it might be. There's a real sense of community amongst
communities.
Yeah. There's a real sense of community amongst the sober communities. There's a lot of use of the word community, isn't there?
Yeah. It's a good word. Yeah. It's a good word.
But it's so true. And this only strengthens that, I think, Susan.
It does. And what's been really heartwarming for me is, you know, once I, you know, spoke to Dave first, and then we got involved with you, Shaz, and Ben. So, you know, you've spoken amongst ourselves, and then I put more little feelers out. And the amount of enthusiasm there is from different sober coaches and people involved in the sober community, there's a lot of enthusiasm for this. I think it's going to be, I think it's really going to be massive. And they want to be involved. They want to do good. And yeah, you're right. It's a really lovely community to be part of.
I mean, Susan, it's gone beyond that already, though, hasn't it? Can we do any name dropping? Because you've been busy. You've been down in the halls of Westminster, for example, talking about it. Can we talk about that? Or is that all hush hush and shut up, Ben?
Definitely. I mean, Sober Code has already gained some really enthusiastic, high-profile support from MPs who have their own experience with alcohol, who were very supportive. We've got the Alcohol Health Alliance, which is an umbrella organisation for dozens of organisations involved in the alcohol community. We've got Public Health England, who want to support us as well. So, yeah, we've got some very influential people who think, yes, this is needed. It's a great idea. You have our support.
Really, yeah. I've been busy, Susan. Your fingers, is your keyboard been on fire?
My keyboard has absolutely been on fire. In fact, I'm there again. I'm in Westminster again in a couple of weeks, and I'll be talking about Sober Code again.
Can we just take a moment to reflect here, Susan? You just said, I'll be in Westminster again next week. I mean, come on.
It is
your story.
Brilliant.
It's just, there is hope. There is hope for anybody, absolutely anybody. 8 years sober. Susan, thank you for being fabulous. It's amazing. Forcing change. We love it.
You know, if you'd said to me 8 years ago when I was lying in whatever bodily function you can mention, and, you know, I just accepted that I was going to die. If you'd said to me, you know what, in 8 years' time, you'll be involved in this Sober Code, you'll be going to Westminster to talk about your journey and talk about helping people like you, I wouldn't have believed it. So being sober, just, you know, it taps into all of that untapped potential in your brain.
And Dave's nodding. Sober Dave, he's nodding.
Well, do you know what? There's another string to the bow as well. When Sue phoned me up, as soon as she started talking about this, I just said, absolutely 100%, I'm up for this. Please get me involved, right? And I hope you don't mind me saying, Sue, but you had a similar call with someone else and they really were resistant about it. And that says everything to me, because this is a brilliant idea. And Sue, you've been absolutely incredible throughout. And, you know, I think anyone that wants to get involved shows their integrity and their willingness to be part of this, because they want to do right for other people, you know. And this is why this is so good and brilliant.
That other phone call, Sharon, we're really glad that you changed your mind.
You cheeky bugger. Yes, sir, funny. Sue, Dave, back me up. We bit your hand off. What? He's a little fibber. Yeah.
We haven't got loads and loads of time left, and you can go to sobercode.co.uk now, can't you, guys? You can go to sobercode.co.uk and you can see it's resources for sober coaches, but also resources for people that might want or think they might benefit from sober coaching as well. So look, go and have a look, sobercode.co.uk. But can we talk a bit about spotting the signs of dependence? Can we end by giving some of that information out on the podcast episode today. You know, when you talk about wanting coaches to be responsible, to have integrity, to be able to spot the signs that someone might be physically dependent on alcohol, what are we talking about there?
The resource that we've put that is on Sober Code at the moment is something called the audit tool that anyone can use. You can find it, you know, you can Google it. And that is, you know, questions about somebody's drinking to help decide, you know, if they're a problem drinker or if they, you know, if they're moving into that, the area of dependence as well. But from my personal point of view, I think formal things like the audit tool are really, really useful. But I also think, you know, there are more deep soul-searching questions that a person can be asked or that they ask themselves. You know, if you're having things like severe withdrawals like the shakes, or if you're using hair of the dog because it's the only way you're going to get through a hangover, there are questions that you can ask yourself or ask somebody else that suggests, you know, that maybe this person's gone beyond just drinking too much, or, you know, hating their hangovers, or want it, being able to make a choice to change their life. I don't know if Dave wants to.
I pretty much agree with all of that as well. And it's important for people to know that if they think they are like that, is to not just stop. I've had partners of pouring the alcohol down the sink say, right, that's it. And that can be really, really dangerous as well. So, you know, all this information is really useful.
Yeah, the audit tool is good. But at the same time, I think it's just about, you know, I'm from the radio industry. That's where I grew up. And 21 was breakfast show producer. And radio presenters, Sharon, you'll know this, are like children. Radio presenters always want to push the boundaries as much as they can. They want to try and get away with as much as they can get away with on air without Ofcom actually fining them.
As a radio manager. Thank you.
My rule when I was running these shows was always, if in doubt, don't. And I think that's such a good way of approaching things. If in doubt, don't. And it's the same thing for this, isn't it, with coaching. If you've got a client that you're not sure, are they physically dependent on alcohol? Are they not? If in doubt, don't coach them. Don't take their money. Refer them. Now, that's the message, isn't it?
Exactly. And Sober Code's has signposting. You know, if you're not sure where to send this person, there's signposting on there as well to help you. Because I suppose from a sober coach's point of view, who wants to do good, that you don't want to just say, no, I can't work with you. You want to, you know, have a next step. You know, I can't work with you, but, you know, this is what you should do now. So yeah, they're going to be signposts on there that sober coaches can use.
Fabulous. Dave, you got something to add on to that?
No, I was putting a thumbs up to what Sue was saying, because it's absolutely brilliant, because there's nothing worse than someone approaching a sober coach, because that takes a lot of courage as well, right?
Yeah.
To be told, I can't work with you, because there's shame and stigma attached to that. So the fact that there's signposting on the website is fantastic.
We are out of time. Thank you so much. Susan, as always, it's been an absolute pleasure to have you back on the podcast. Thank you very, very much for your time. And Sober Dave, actual legend that is Sober Dave. Dave, it's always great to chat. Thank you to you as well. Actually, just before you go, Dave, give your podcast a plug.
Oh, okay, if you must. It's called One for the Road, and I've revamped it now, so they're weekly episodes for the foreseeable future. And I normally have the format of life stories, but now I'm going to involve a little bit more information, science-based, talk about the menopause, ADHD, you know, so I'm shifting it up a little bit, but I'm really, really enjoying recording these new episodes. Thank you very much for that. Shout out.
And Susan, where can we find out more about Sober Code?
Sober Code, yes, it's brand new, and it's at www.sobercode.co.uk.
Absolutely fantastic. There you have it. Hashtag Sober code. And you know what? We said this before, but we're just chuffed to bits to be asked to be involved in this. The amount of work that Susan has put into this to get it off the ground, it's just testament to the woman she is, the woman she has become after she shared her really personal, difficult story with us. Oh, crikey. It's probably 2-3 years ago, Ben, now on the podcast.
Yeah, coming up to 3 years,
it
for
will
sure.
Be. Yeah, it will be, because it was one of the it was one of the early episodes. And of course, the absolute legend himself, Sober Dave. Really, really good. So keep an eye across our socials. Take a look at the website. If you want any information, get in touch and you can find out all you need to know about Sober Code. And before we say goodbye this week, just need to remind you that the premium, yes, premium podcast is now available direct on our podcast channel on Apple. Ben, you explain, because you're just so much better at this than me.
No, that was good. I was, you know,
was I getting there?
You've cocked this up a few times when you've been trying to explain what's actually new and what's happened. So you've always been able to access the premium podcast, right? If you
Correct.
Pay £5 a month, but now you can access it directly on Apple Podcasts. So whereas before you had to go to overtheinfluence.supercast.com, click a few buttons, do a bit of copying and pasting, now it's there. You don't have to do that anymore. You just go to Over the Influence and you should see it. It's all integrated into Apple Podcasts, because Apple have done an update, basically. Apple have gone, oh, I see, the future of audio. As one of the world's biggest technology companies, we should be doing this.
Well, yeah, and you'd think, given the size of the company, I mean, you are fabulous, Mr. or Mrs. Apple, wonderful. Not the most simplest of processes, really, is it?
No, it hasn't been. I have to upload every single one individually. We've got a back catalogue of nearly 100 premium podcast episodes now. And of course, you don't just get access to the new one that we release every single Monday without fail, and will do every single Monday without fail for the rest of time, because we're alcohol-free and we're consistent. But you also get the back catalogue of nearly 100 premium podcast episodes. And they're all minimum half an hour.
Yeah.
You know, so that's... I don't want to do the maths, but many hours.
It's a lot.
Of premium podcasts to catch up on.
Muchos hours.
Muchos. Well, yeah, about 50 hours, I would say, in the archive of premium podcast content. So go and have a listen.
If you do sign up, like Ben said there, you do get instant access to the entire back catalogue. And I just want to stress as well, this doesn't affect the main podcast that you're listening to now. The main podcast that comes out every single Monday, as Ben said, until the end of time itself, because we're alcohol-free, because we show up, because we're consistent. Why am I wobbling my head like that?
I don't know, and I don't know why you're talking like this either. We're alcohol-free and we're consistent. Yeah.
It's what happens. Mad shit happens. It will be free. The main podcast will remain completely,
always,
absolutely free. Not a penny. Don't
free
get
resource.
The two confused. Don't get the two confused.
No, no.
And if you want more, if you want an extra dose, fill your flipping boots. My God, there's loads of it.
So hang on, Sharon. What you're saying is that I now need to pay for the Over the Influence free podcast.
No, Ben, I'm not.
I'm getting confused.
No.
I'm getting the two confused.
Don't get them confused. Main podcast, free.
Always free.
Always free. Premium podcast.
Really good.
$4.99
Dr. Helen said, prescribed by the doctor.
An actual doctor said that. Sustainable.
Yeah. Right, next week, the Unmumsy Mum, eh? Am I allowed to do that? Am I allowed to say that?
Well, you've just done it. You've
just done it. We've got the Unmumsy Mum on next week.
It's going to be a cracker. And you know, I feel like, you know, when you meet somebody in life and you're like, you're actually my new best friend. And I'm not sure Sarah would feel entirely comfortable with me saying that, because she might not be reciprocated. I love her.
She's an OTI fan.
She's a big OTI fan. And it was just so good to connect in this AF world. And when I got in touch and I'm like, oh, come on the pod. I was like, I've got to stop that voice, haven't I? Sorry. It's my
Just as you get more alcohol free, is it just mean you're just going to do this more often? And
it's
eventually you're going to end up talking like this all the time?
All the time, because I'm like, you know, alcohol free and just so consistent and just so, whatever.
Yeah.
Man.
Yeah. Right.
Love
we should go, by the way.
Love
we should go.
We should go.
Yeah. Bye.
Bye.
No. See you next week. The Mumsy Mum. Thank you for listening to Over the Influence.
Bye.